In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Andrew Gold, a fallen BBC journalist interviewing the heretics and rebels brave enough to speak out against mainstream narratives. Here's Coleman Hughes, John Ronson, and the Trigonometry podcast guys bringing controversy to the fore.
How'd you feel if a person of a different race moved in next door?
I spent a while with a politically correct faction of the Ku Klux Klan.
The system punishes people for wrongthink. It's heartbreaking.
Here's My Unorthodox Life Netflix star Julia Hart on getting out of a Hasidic Jewish cult.
Why can't I be okay with being silent and subservient? Everyone else is.
And biologist Richard Dawkins on trans activism.
It's perfectly legitimate to say, I am a man, but I feel feminine. But to then say, therefore I am a woman, is just a betrayal of language.
Now it's your turn. Rebel against the mainstream and find a home in this sensible alternative space by subscribing to Heretics Podcast.
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett.
On this episode, a professional wrestler and star of a reality ghost hunting show describes his encounters with the paranormal.
I'll go into a room if there's a spirit box or something, and they'll say something like, oh, we know Gretchen, which is my daughter's name. I've had entities over these things call me Funkmaster. It's pretty nutty. I used to be a youth minister, and they'll be like, oh, it's the old preacher.
This podcast is supported by Crime and Trauma Scene Cleaners. Crime and Trauma Scene Cleaners is committed to helping people when tragedy strikes. Their objective is to restore safety to an environment in the most professional and discreet manner possible. Crime and Trauma Scene Cleaners, Canada's decontamination specialists. Call 1-866-724-0800. 1-866-724-0800. Learn more at crimescenecleaners.ca.
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett. Pursuing the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from his studio beneath the stairs. Here's Richard Serrett.
Welcome to your Monday. And a belated Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. I hope your children were close at hand and that you were lavished with flowers and chocolates. More importantly, I hope you had a chance to put your feet up and relax, because you deserve it. As PJ O'Rourke once wrote, everybody wants to save the planet, but nobody wants to help mom with the dishes. You're about to meet a very interesting man, Funkmaster V. He wears many hats. He's a pro wrestler, a comedian, a bass slapper, a libertarian candidate for governor, radio host, actor, business owner, ghost hunter, bounty hunter, to name just a few. But his next adventure, launching a streaming paranormal TV network, Asai Paranormal, may be his most ambitious project yet. Funkmaster V, welcome to Conspiracy Unlimited. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you for having me. It's just a tremendous, tremendous honor to be on your show, man.
Can I talk a little bit about your handle, Funkmaster V?
Absolutely.
Is that your sort of the wrestling persona? Is that the comedic persona, the bass playing persona?
It's kind of a combination of the bass playing. Long story short, I was in a rock band, got signed and shelved. We couldn't play anywhere, so we decided to play for money. Three white guys were going to play hip hop and funk, and the name kind of came out of that. We changed the name of the band to Pimpin' Ain't Easy. We toured around the Southeast and Midwest, and then when I quit playing music extensively, because we toured quite a bit, and I got into wrestling, I was like, it's a pretty cool thing to switch over to pro wrestling. And you know, I'd come out in mink coats and kind of do the James Brown thing where if I was getting beat up, my manager would put the mink coat on me, and a lot of my promos I would do in wrestling, I would just steal like Parliament lyrics or something like that, and people would be like, wow, man, that was great. I'd be like, yeah, I just stole that from the Mothership Connection. But yeah, I'm good. I'm creative.
And is there a big difference between wrestling and playing in bars?
No, really, that's the thing about it, man. I was on a radio show last night and just figured out, you know, I'm an expert in low production entertainment, you know, stand up comedy, playing music, pro wrestling, doing ghost hunting television shows. There's not a lot of glitz, glam, huge crews or anything like that. It's just pretty much plug in and play and start telling stories in one way or the other. So it's very similar.
So then how did you parlay the wrestling career into ghost hunting and wrestling with ghosts, which we'll talk about this program in a moment?
That's a pretty interesting story from my vantage point, because me and my tag team partner, who's a literal giant, he's 7 feet tall. His name's Big Luke Walker. He and I were producing and directing and trying to save this fledgling pro wrestling show for Fox. And eventually the show just folded and we got fired, and we were looking for our next project. And this guy came in, we found out later he was a charlatan, but he was like, hey, I've got a ghost hunting contract and I'm looking for a team. And he ran into Luke Walker in Gatlinburg, which is a pretty hopping tourist attraction. And he was curious about local haunts around the Gatlinburg area in Tennessee. And he said, man, we ought to do a television show. And there's a cat named Funkmaster V locally, and another wrestler named Travis Graves. And so we started, you know, at first it was just a television opportunity. I'm an entertainer. I didn't really believe a lot in paranormal things, and neither did my friend Luke.
Funkmaster, are you still on the phone? I shaved the phone.
But so anyway, that's we'll talk about that guy later. But anyway, so we were talking about getting off into this paranormal stuff, and you know, and when that started to happen, me and Luke were trying to plan comedy bits, because we just didn't believe. We were like, this is going to be 45 minutes of us standing around in an abandoned house or a graveyard or something. It's going to be terrible.
Right. So you're thinking nothing's going to happen. We got to figure out how to make some TV here. So let's take the Mickey out of it.
That's exactly right. And then what happened, and I'm no expert. I'm never going to say that I don't think there are very many experts in the paranormal field, honestly, but because we don't know what we're really perceiving. But for some reason, when our group is together, amazing things happen. And I don't know if it's we do have a technique that we use. We're trying to make TV, and there's a lot of people in the paranormal industry that hate paranormal television because it's a bunch of guys in black T-shirts yelling at, you know, the wall, and when a soda can falls over, they run out of the room screaming, and it looks just, it's kind of silly, you know, but that's the entertainment part of it. But when we get together and, you know, we do a lot of humor and stuff, and we try to, you know, because that's who we are. We're comedians and wrestlers and stuff like that. But when we basically come up with this idea, we call it the charge. We charge up the room with human energy, and what we do is we flirt with the women, and we joke with the guys and tease the kids. If these are ghosts and stuff, I think these are actually human beings that have passed on, if they're still trying to, you know, if there's still presence around that's being picked up on, they want to be treated normally. They don't want to be sitting there listening to somebody going, oh, so how did you die and blah blah. I mean, you know, they don't want to, I don't think anybody wants to be eternally macabre about their own death. You know, if you can bring up, you know, if you tell a woman she's beautiful and stuff, and, you know, she's been dead a few hundred years, it's been a long time she's been flirted with, she's going to respond to that. Right. I think that's what we capture, you know?
The charge, okay.
Yeah, that's what we call it. We don't know, we're just all a bunch of jerks. We don't know what we're doing, but that's what we call it. And that's, on our program, that's, we've gotten some of the most amazing stuff that I've ever seen. And people, when they watch it, they're like, man, this is some stuff.
So Wrestling with Ghosts started out as a web series, right?
Kinda. The story of the show was this guy went to, he was a paranormal investigator, and he's got this lust to be on television with a ghost show. And he had a ghost show at this cabin. He was shooting a ghost show, I should say, at this cabin in Tennessee. It's called the Rabbit Man Cabin. It's a really creepy place on top of a mountain. It's about a 2-mile walk up into nothing. And when he was up there, he got his team got demonically, quote unquote, oppressed, or something happened up there. And they all started to fist fight each other on camera. He actually called his mom. I'm not going to make it home. I love you. I'm going to die up here, Mom. And so he eventually made it off the hill. And when we first met him, we were like, well, a good way to spin a show would be you hired 3 pro wrestlers to kind of protect you from these evil spirits. Well, when we were, you know, he was a kind of a, like I said before, he's a big liar and pathological to a degree. And so we eventually got rid of him, and we decided, hey, we got the chops to do this ourselves.
You mean contractually got rid of him, I hope.
yes.
Thank you.
Every town has a dark side. This is Andrew Fitzgerald from the Every Town podcast, where every single week we dive into insane and mysterious true crime stories, most of which you've never heard of. Stories like the bizarre disappearance of Tyler Davis in Columbus, Ohio, a 29-year-old father trying to find his way back to his hotel when he disappeared and was never heard from again. And Elizabeth Schoaf from Lugoff, South Carolina, who was abducted from her driveway by a madman and taken to his underground bunker in the woods. And we give you all the details you're interested in hearing about without any fluff or fillers, because ain't nobody got time for that. We cover everything from psychopaths to poltergeists, so go check out the Every Town podcast, because every town, no matter how nice it may seem, has a dark side.
Overwhelmed by investing?
If you're anything like us, the hardest part is getting started. That's why we created the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Our goal is to help simplify money so it can work for you.
We invite guests to demystify investing.
At least try to be setting aside like the minimum 10% into the 401k.
We'll teach you the basics of the market.
Yeah, I think compound interest should be at the start of any discussion about investing. And
we've had investment professionals who teach in a simple way.
A valuation-driven bear market. You know, we haven't really seen yet, and I think everyone's thinking about it, but we haven't really seen yet.
Our Q&A episodes feature questions from listeners just like you.
So what do you think about the situation with ETBI, which is Activision?
I'm Dave Ahern.
And I'm Andrew Sather.
And we hope you join us on the Investing for Beginners podcast.
On the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Yeah, he's not in a short, shallow grave somewhere in Alabama.
All right. Now we can proceed.
Yes. We can contractually Irish car bomb to the guy. We proceeded, and we actually went back to that place. And oddly enough, and to my chagrin, we would go back to the place where the story started, where he was with another paranormal team. They got into a fist fight up there. Almost the same exact thing happened to us, and we were all friends. And it was really, really, really weird. And that was the end of season one, where we almost all got into a big fist fight, and Like I said, my tag team partner is 7 feet tall. He's 300 pounds. He wanted to throw me out of a window. The guy's never said a cross word to me in my life. Wow. I've known the guy for 6 years.
Do you remember it almost sounds like that Star Trek episode where the Klingons, I'm dating myself now, I'm talking about the original series, the Klingons and the Kirk and the crew were fighting each other, and there was this entity on the starship that was kind of feeding off their energy. And it was making them fight each other. Is that what was happening?
I don't know. Still to this day, because I wasn't affected, but Luke was, and another guy named Dalton, and our cameraman was not. But the weird thing, the guy that was, he was kind of the docent. He was kind of the guy that was showing us the property, and he was there the first time with Justin and got into a fist fight. He went bonkers. Luke tried to fight it. He actually brought out the Bible. He's never brought a Bible before or after, but he brought out the Bible that particular night and started reading from it. It angered the other guy. The other guy is supposed to be a Christian, and he started getting to quit reading that Bible. All that's on this episode. Me and the cameraman are looking at each other like, what is happening? And the weird thing, and again, this guy, Luke, and I are very close friends. It's not just like we have a working relationship. You know, he brought me cheeseburgers tonight out of the blue. I mean, he's that kind of guy. And so the next day, we actually drive to a small town in the middle of nowhere called Murphy, North Carolina, because we have cage match down there. We're wrestling, and we're going to go to this place and get paid to wrestle a pretty good chunk of money. And the whole time, you know, normally on a car trip, he's talking about food, Chicago, big-legged women, blues music, you know, what a wrestling, ghosts, whatever. We're always talking about something. He's quiet the whole time. And I'll be driving. I was driving, and I look over at him. He's staring at me. And then you just look out the window, and I'll be like, hey there, tag team partner, you all right? It took him like 4 days to get over that. And then he started opening it up. He's like, man, I had a hard time. Now, the interesting thing, he's a very high-functioning Asperger's guy. And he said he actually was using his autism to defend himself, because I don't have autism, so I don't really know. But what he says is he's kind of always he's got this image he projects to be socially acceptable and to kind of, you know, navigate through life and people like him and that kind of thing, but it's always kind of a shield.
Right.
And so he was kind of behind that the entire night, and he said it felt like some sort of entity kept trying to get him angry, kept trying to make him hungry, kept trying to make him sad, make him depressed, all these different frustrated, and then anger stuck, and then it started to play on anger, and he was like, I gotta get off this mountain or it's gonna get bad for everybody. So
was that your come to Jesus moment then, in terms of the paranormal?
A couple episodes, that one cemented it, because the entire, like you said, we thought we were shooting a TV show, and then it became a web series because we realized we didn't have a contract. But over the course of that story, I think the stories of our first season is really interesting, because it begins and ends kind of at the same spot. And over the course of shooting those 8 episodes, the end was, normally we're happy-go-lucky, but that was kind of like the main event title fight. You know, we had some investigations that were little kids, and then some kind of crumb bum spirits that were kind of sacrilegious and funny, and we had a poltergeist that was kind of creepy. But you know, but this thing, when you're on the hill and then everybody's starting, their personalities are starting to change, and that is like a come to Jesus moment. This is a very good way to put it, because you just like this. We've seen everything. We've seen humor. We've seen lustful women. We've seen suicidal brides who their husbands left them and they committed suicide. And when you flirt with them, they were very aggressive, and kids that would react to humor and teasing, and then, you know, poltergeists. And then eventually you were at this thing, you had some sort of thing that was trying to attach to everybody. So yeah, it was kind of like a nice little smorgasbord of examples that we went through the first year. But yeah, that was we were all believers at the end of the first season, let's put it that way.
And as the series progressed and you became believers, did you start to employ sort of more traditional you know, ghost hunting or ghost investigation techniques? I mean, I know you have the charge protocol where you try and, you know, get the room going and sort of, so to speak. But I mean, were you trying to capture EVPs? Were you using, I don't know, were you measuring electromagnetic activity?
No, because I always think that's boring. And we're entertainers before anything else. And I think if you're going to capture something, if it's not caught on tape or on an EVP, it's got to be audio or visual evidence of something. And if it's not, it's not, nobody's going to believe it, if that makes sense. Like if I had a flashing just kind of magic wand thing, and I call this a K2 meter.
Whoop, I lost you there.
Who's agnostic is not going to.
Sorry, just if just back up there. You dropped out. Just drop up and say, if I don't have it on tape, just start. If you can pick up from there.
Okay, so if we don't have it on tape, if it's not audio, if it's not visual, I don't think it's going to convert anybody. It's not going to be any solid proof. It's if you're an agnostic to it, if I have a flashing flashlight with all these different colors on it, and I call it a K2 meter, and it goes bonkers, I don't think anybody's going to go, wow, there's ghosts. So now, in the second season, we have employed things that we're skeptical of. We've used dowsing rods, which they seem to work. We used a K2 meter this last investigation, which we've never used one of those before. But a lot of it's like we'll have friends, or we've made friends in the paranormal field, and they'll bring those with us. But I'm always a big believer it's got to be on tape. Or it's got to be, you know, it's either got to be visual or audio for it to be rock and roll gold for me. But, you use these other devices, and that's the thing that we've learned is when we first started the show, we were totally ignorant. We didn't know what we were doing. We were probably sacrilegious or too flip with the spirits. And then we kind of, I think we're a little bit more respectful in some ways than we used to be. But, now we're kind of just sticking our toe and saying, let's just see what this does and we'll see. But I think what we learned is it doesn't matter what the device is, whether it's a Ouija board or pendulum or dowsing rods or whatever. It's just some sort of way to get the conversation rolling. I used to be freaked out by Ouija boards. I was like, oh my God, get them away. But now I just realize you could use probably a Denny's menu and it could do the same thing, if that makes sense. I don't think there's any power in the Ouija board itself, but it's what I think human beings, what we project upon that particular piece of plastic or whatever.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, for TV, it looks creepy. Oh, Ouija board. But, you know, you could use, I think, anything, a chess set, chutes and ladders, you know, and if something is on the other side, they're going to participate if they want to. So,
and now that you believe in another side, I mean, how has that affected the rest of your life, or has it?
Not really. I've never been afraid of it. I come from a religious background. I was an atheist for a long time, and then I found God, and I had a situation that happened where, there was a bad situation. I used to be a drug and alcohol counselor for teenagers, And there was this little situation that was happening where it seemed like there was an entity that was cute in the beginning. And I guess this may be familiar with people that know. And a little thing we used to call Hey Hey, because she'd run up behind your back and go, Hey Hey. And then you turn around, nothing would be there. And we, oh, that's cute. You know, it was a little tiny thing. And then eventually dark entities would be following her. And that's kind of congruent with what a lot of people say about some of these contacts that you have with spirits. And so I'm not Catholic, but I followed a lot of what Malachi Martin said. Mm-hmm. And went in and tried to get the dark entities to quit. You know, there was an increase of violence and staff acting crazy and kids acting crazy at this facility. And I seem to have done a good job with that. But so now, with that history and doing this TV show, I do go out and try to help people who have things happening to them. And just a couple of weeks ago, I was involved in something that was very intense, and the spirits were, you know, the spirits apparently knew who I was. When I left, they talked to the person that was at the property, and they're like, don't ever let that guy get, you know, she had a dream where there were these spirits were like, don't ever allow him back. And I get that a lot. I'll go into a room if there's a spirit box or something, and they'll say something like, oh, we know Gretchen, which is my daughter's name. Or they'll be like, oh, I've had entities over these things call me Funkmaster.
Oh, boy. And they say, we know your daughter? Yikes.
Yeah,
yikes.
We know Gretchen, and, ugh, you know, it's pretty nutty. And they'll be like, oh, it's Funkmaster. And I used to be a youth minister, and they'll be like, oh, it's the old preacher. And you'll get these weird... You'll get like, yeah, the former or backslidden preacher, I had one thing say, and you know, and it's just kind of like, you know, it's just, you know, I work, I make TV shows, I go pro wrestle, I play music, I play Nintendo. I have no idea why anybody on the other side would give two craps about what I'm doing or who I am, but they seem to know. So that's kind of a strange gimmick.
Maybe it's because you're authentic.
I think that's one of the things that I would say about myself, is that I am who I am, and I'm not trying to ever, even though pro wrestling is a character, and when we were playing music we were playing characters, but when it comes to like real life, yeah, I am authentic. I'm who I am 100% of the time. I really don't pull any punches in life.
Timothy in Tennessee writes, this is one of the greatest things I've ever put in my body. I couldn't agree more. Lana Paley in California writes, thank you. This is a miracle tea. With every glass, I feel better and better. Now, over the last couple of months, I've been extolling the virtues of Life Change Tea, this remarkable all-organic, caffeine-free herbal tea. I begin every day with an 8-ounce glass of cold, refreshing tea. It's gently cleansing my body. No more bloating, no more constipation. I feel energized. And let me tell you, that's crucial for a late-night radio guy. Why not find out for yourself how Life Change Tea and Formula 13 Herbal Power Tea can change your life? Go to getthetea.com, getthetea.com, and use the code word UNLIMITED when making your first purchase. That order ships for free. Life Change Tea and Formula 13 Herbal Power Tea from getthetea.com.
In another reality, Richard is a very strong and handsome man. Just not in our reality. Although I heard somebody passing him in the hall the other day, and it was, what a handsome man Richard is. I made that up. Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett.
Musician, comedian, wrestler, ghost hunter, Funkmaster V is here. So these entities, whatever they are, they seem to be omniscient. They know stuff that they shouldn't know, right?
It seems that way. And, you know, that's the thing, is that I don't know if we'll ever know exactly what they are. They could be a combination of different things. They could be dead people, angels, demons, time travelers, creatures we can't perceive, residual energy, aliens. We don't know. And, you know, we as Americans tend to, a lot of us put a religious tint on these things, you know, demons and angels and things. And they may not be anything like that of the sort. They could just be something that's just, you know, that we just kind of interact with, or we show up at 2 a.m. screaming at the walls and they're like, oh man, I'm trying to sleep. What are you doing? You know, even though they're invisible, we have no idea. In fact, we did a investigation at a place called Hell's Bar Dam in Chattanooga, which is cool, old powerhouse that's being torn down. And so just my tag team partner, Luke, works at a hotel part-time, and somebody left goat ankles. There's a goat ankle game, kind of like Yahtzee or something, where you roll these goat ankles, and the goat ankles will tell you different things. It's almost like a magic eight ball. You know, you roll it, you know, and a lot of times it's dorky and goofy and stuff. But some people actually put a lot of weight into this type of thing.
Are they actually made from goat ankles? Excuse my ignorance. They are.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm ignorant of it too. Every time somebody presents something to me, especially on camera, and that's why a lot of people like our shows, because it's like, because we're not, you know, we're not trying to act like we know what we're talking about. We're like, well, what in the world is this? So we're down here at the Hell's Bar Dam. And this was an episode that's going to air on the second season. And so we're there for the first time with mediums, because normally it's just us. So we actually have some friends that are mediums. And just like Wrestling with Ghost style, there's a lady there that if there's a dark entity there, she'll burp, which is hilarious. And the other one coughs. You're kind of, okay, something evil's around. This lady is burping, the other one is coughing, and you're just kind of laughing because you're like, this is ridiculous. But anyway, so they tell us of this thing called a Wendigo, which mm-hmm. I thought was a classy motorhome. But a Wendigo it's got goat legs, it's got a steer or some sort of cow head and a human body.
It's kind of a Native American legend, right?
You're exactly right. It's a Native American thing, and it has to do with cannibalism. So we're horsing around trying to be funny, playing with these goat ankles. And I keep, you know, somebody would roll and I'd be like, Yahtzee. And they finally kick me out. We do like a little skit, and that's what we do to try to get the entities rolling. So then they start trying to play with the goat ankles for real and start asking questions. And I get off camera. We are in a powerhouse. It is raining. It's in the middle of almost like a monsoon, if there could be one in Tennessee. And I go over to the corner of a room and I start, and this is why it's awesome to be a guy, is I just start to go to the bathroom in the corner. And nobody's going to know. It's not like somebody's house. It's this dangerous building. And over in the corner, I hear this growl. And I just had this thought of like, this is this guy's, you know, this could be this guy's living room, and he's watching Game of Thrones on TV and some other where I just walked in and peed on his coffee table. So I go out and I go, you won't believe this, but I start urinating in this corner over here, and this, the growl comes out of his closet. I say, he must be a little jealous of the size of my member here. And then Luke goes, well, the 7-foot-tall guy's, well, if he hates the size of your member, he's going to hate the size of mine. He walks in there. The camera comes in there. He starts to urinate. An audible growl, two of them, comes out of the closet. And we're like, this is the craziest evidence ever. That there's something over there that's just like, hey, man, quit peeing where I have to sleep. Again, I don't know what it is. I don't know why it's growling. Is it some sort of thing like a Wendigo? And that's why we were sitting there with the goat bones, and we're having fun with that. The goat ankles. Maybe he's like, that was a cousin of mine. I don't know. So, but that's the kind of weird stuff. And you get no answers at the end of the day, but you sit back and go, well, that was a lot of fun and that was interesting. And
so you opened the closet door and there was nothing there?
No, nothing at all.
Mm, wow. Did you ever bring anything home with you?
Yeah. There was on our third episode of the first season, we go to a place called Mary Death Antiques in La Follette, Tennessee. And halfway through the...
Oop, you dropped out again there. Sorry, just okay. You went to Lafayette, Tennessee, and what happened?
So we go to a toy. There's a place called Mary Death Antiques, and it's like a toy store, junk shop. It's got really cool stuff, and it's got really old stuff too. And La Follette, Tennessee, is a place that everybody should know. That's a ghost hunter. It's unknown, and the evidence that you can get there, and the insanity of the amount of paranormal happenings in this little tiny town is unbelievable. And in this antique shop, right next to the Ouija boards, there were two little footprints that appeared halfway through the investigation. And we're big wrestlers. Everybody's got at least a size 11 shoe. This thing, they're tiny. None of us did this. Just these two little footprints appeared next to these baby dolls on one side and Ouija boards on the other. So I set up a bunch of dolls, and I'm sitting there talking. Hey, you know, I'm a dad, and I've got a daughter, and I love my daughter, and I always wanted a boy, but now that I have a daughter, I wouldn't take 100 boys for my daughter. And just saying some sweet stuff, you know, to see if it is a little girl or something. And I feel I can watch the hair on my arm move, and I hear this coo out of nowhere. And I hear that in real time. And I'm like, what in the world? I said, is that you? And so fast forward several months. At this point in my house, soda bottles being knocked off the coffee table, remote controlled sumo wrestlers, because I've got tons of kids, those things will be turned on. Video games will be turned on. Toys will be messed with all the time. So a friend of mine, or Luke, who I've talked about, he has the same stuff going on in his place. And this, you know, and I don't know how much you're into the paranormal, but there are people that walk up to you sometimes and they just start saying stuff that's just whack. And you're like, okay, well, this guy walks up to Luke and he's like, hey, there's a little ghost girl that follows you around. And he's like, what? And he goes, yeah, she said to me to tell you that she loves her two new dads, and she never knew men that were nice as you two. And she comes from the toy store that's far away, and wow, she loves playing with you guys.
Wow.
And he tells me that, and I'm like, did this cat see this episode on TV? And he goes, there's no way this guy. He had no idea I was a ghost hunter or had a TV show or anything like that. And so that was weird. Mm-hmm. But occasionally she'll show up and something crazy will happen. We'll be like, hey, what's up? So
remarkable. That's remarkable.
It is.
So tell me about Asai Paranormal.
Well, we were courted by a lot of cable television networks, and they all at the end of the day were like, we love you, but we're not going to go with you. And a lot of it had to do with and I don't want to poo-poo on anybody's parade, but a lot of these shows, you know, cable television is dying, and a lot of these shows, they're being forced to fake evidence. And they wanted us to run out of the room screaming and stuff. I'm like, well, we don't do that. You know, I mean, well, I'm not scared of this stuff. You know, I think it's wild, and I think it's awesome, but I'm not going to, like, flip my lid. So we decided that TV wasn't going to work, and there's not really money in television like that anymore anyway, and the future of streaming television. So there's another wrestler, ghost hunter, comedian, musician that we ran across, and he's from Colorado Springs. And over the last couple of years, we've been trying to get this thing off the ground called Asai Paranormal, which is ASY, and it's finally launching. It's launching this month in May, and for $2.99 a month, you can watch all this paranormal stuff, and it's going to be real. And it's not going to be faked. It's going to be what it is. And there's going to be monster movies and classic movies. But really, what we want it to be is a thing for, or a platform for people who want to create television too, or create movies. I want it to be a hub of paranormal entertainment. I want it to be something that's going to be, instead of wondering, am I watching a bunch of fake stuff? I want it to be a place where people can actually watch a show and be pretty confident that the things that they're seeing are legit. And, you know, and it's there's a lot of different programs on there. There's UFO programs, WWE's Lita, has a show on there. It's called the UFO Show. We're on there, and there's a bunch of others. There's like a Detroit haunted house show that shows people in the haunted house getting freaked out, and there's a show about ghost stories where people, just regular people, get on. They film themselves and send it in, and we produce it, and it's just them telling their own personal ghost story. And there's not a lot of production to it. It's just real low key, and there's a bunch of stuff. There's going to be a ghost. There's going to be like a puppet show where the puppet is going to show ghost videos from YouTube and stuff, and discuss. So there's just a lot of different things. There's the kid playing zombie video games, and we've got the precursor to the Twilight. We got to actually get One Step Beyond, which was the predecessor to Twilight Zone.
Oh, how does that work? Do they fall into public domain, or how does that work?
Ah, okay. Yeah, that show's interesting because it is a combination of like the old radio plays with television horror. And you know, I love watching, you know, these big budget movies like the Avengers and everything. Fantastic, okay? But I think it's more interesting when you don't have a budget and you're trying to entertain and you've got to use whatever resource and story devices that you have, and you have to fill up a certain amount of time. And the way these guys were creative with no budgets, I think it's more fascinating than all this awesome explosion intergalactic CGI stuff any day of the week.
I agree. That's why I love radio over television.
Oh, I do too. Radio is my absolute favorite. And the fact that you're a coast-to-coast guy, I mean, that is just unbelievable to me. I mean, that's like you said, it's a cool gig. It's the apex. There's nothing better than that. So I'm happy to know you.
likewise. So ASY, what is the ASY? ASY, what is that about?
I was on an interview with the guy that started this last night, and he told me he used to own a bar, and it was called The Asylum. And he would have Monday Night Raw parties. And long story short, they bought a wrestling ring, and people would kind of horse around. And then eventually he got trained to be a wrestler, and then they turned into wrestling shows they would have on Monday nights in between commercial breaks and have a wrestling match. And it turned from the thing called and then he started to show it on TV, and it was called the Asylum Television Network, and it just kind of morphed from there. But weirdly enough, me and Luke, he's from Chicago, I'm from Baltimore, we're both in Tennessee, we meet this guy who's from Detroit, who's now in Colorado Springs, and we're all wrestlers, ghost hunters, musicians, so we're kindred spirits. So it just kind of came from his old wrestling days and his old bar that he used to own.
Fabulous.
And so it's interesting.
And again, ASY Paranormal launches this month, May. And you pay, mm-hmm. was it $2.99 for the month?
$2.99 a month. And it's got 15 original shows, tons of old movies, and more content as we reach out. And as the bigger this thing goes, I want it to be a hub. I want people to, you know, share their ghost stories. You can do that in print. If you want to do live tarot readings, there's technology there where you can interact with people through the website and over the phone and over your tablet, and it'll, you know, it's portable. It'll go anywhere you want. You work a third shift job, you can watch ASY Paranormal at night, or if you're on the bus, and if you're on the subway, it's a television station in your pocket. And if you want to add content to the network and have your own show, you just contact us. My name is Vinny Vineyard, Funkmaster V, Wrestling with Ghosts. If you look all that stuff up, you'll find us, and we're at ASYParanormal.com.
ASYParanormal.com. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Funkmaster, this has been an absolute delight. Thank you so much.
Hey, you're awesome. Thank you for having me on, and I'm just stoked to be with you, man. You're an awesome dude. You got a great radio voice, man. Fantastic.
Thank you. The check's in the mail. Okay, before I dim the lights in my little studio beneath the stairs, I'll be back with a few words on what's coming up on the next installment of Conspiracy Unlimited.
If you're a fan of this podcast or my weekly radio program, The Conspiracy Show, or my YouTube channel, Strange Planet, I hope you'll consider becoming an official donor. A donation of $50 a month places you in the Star Chamber. $20 a month is the whistleblower tier, and a donation of just $10 per month makes you a truth seeker. Star Chamber and Whistleblower members can participate in an exclusive monthly online chat or video conference with me. And all donors are entered into a monthly draw for Strange Planet merchandise. Any monthly amount is welcome and greatly appreciated. To become an official donor, go to patreon.com/strangeplanet. patreon.com/strangeplanet. Be sure to be listening Wednesday when I speak with the world's most popular Bigfoot blogger, who describes his encounter with the giant, elusive, hairy creature known as Sasquatch.
Okay, I'm a blogger, okay? I write about these things. I'm like, something tricks on me here? What's going on here, you know? This is unreal. This is not supposed to happen, because I know about Bigfoot reports of people who are in this field. They'll go 20, 30 years without a single action. Here I am, second night. There's things that's coming into our camp.
Until then, I'm Richard Serrett. So long for now.
A new Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at conspiracyunlimitedpodcast.com. Blow your mind. That is all for now. Oh, and remember to share and give a 5-star review, because we have huge egos and need love. We're like cats. We need constant petting.